Hello and welcome to Father Figures, a show about fatherhood, uncommon fathers, fathers of all stripes. Here's where we explore the griefs and the joys, the risks and rewards of being a dad. The guest on this episode is Gabe Sutton, a local Astoria father with a young child. As always, we started with where he's from.
I'm from here in Astoria, born and raised in Warrenton, so always been local. I work down at 50 Trees, Astoria, and I have a landscaping company as well, so I do both of those. But as far as like personal time and stuff, I really like to skateboard. I've always skateboarded since I was about five. Got my first one for Christmas then, and I've stuck with it ever since. So, I skateboard a lot, and then I also fly fish quite a bit. I picked that up a couple years ago, and I've been having lots and lots of fun with that. So,
That's great. I'd love to learn how to do that.
It's a lot of fun. I got into that and then started fly tying as well.
Afterwards,
you know, you kind of...
That's like a whole other obsession.
It's a whole other thing, and that's what I love doing now. So I spend a lot of my time doing that.
So what year were you born?
1993.
93. Okay. That hurts my heart. Do you have any siblings?
I've got quite a few. So I've got six, or I guess there's six of us total. I've got quite a few step siblings and then full siblings. So all together, there's six of us.
Do you all get along?
Yeah, we definitely do.
Tell me about your dad. What did he do for a living?
So I mostly was raised by my stepdad, and he worked mostly, he does construction is what his like background was in. And so when he moved here, he started working for Overbay Houseworks and made cabinets and stuff like that. And then when we moved out to Lewis and Clark when I was a teenager, he opened up his own shop. So he works from home now and does cabinets and custom kitchens and things like that.
Okay. When did he start being your stepfather? How long were you with your biological father? And then
So I actually wasn't with my biological father. My mom and him were basically in the process of separating. Oops, here I came. I've always been raised with my mom. And so my stepdad came in the picture when I believe I was about like seven or so is when they got married. So
how would you describe your parenting style?
Let's see. I mean, my kid is only 8 months old.
Right.
So far I haven't had to run into any like behavioral issues and things like that. But, I think for me, I was raised up pretty strict. There was a lot of boundaries and a lot of, I wouldn't even say things that I thought were unnecessary, but for me, raising my kid, I think I'll be a little bit looser.
Is this a direct result of the way you were raised by your stepfather, or is it, you know, just...
I think so, and I don't even think it was, like, a bad thing. You know, I am who I am now, and that's awesome. I feel like I'm a good person, but I think there's just a time and a place for certain things, and I think for me, it's... I just want to make sure that my kid especially feels loved and knows that I'm there to support and help him out in, I guess, more than just like the putting the roof over your head and all of that type of stuff. But more so with, you know, I want to make sure that he knows, hey man, I might not be into certain things, but if you are, hey, let's do them together. That type of stuff.
Yeah. So, and your schedule allows that sort of thing to happen.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I'm kind of currently fixing right now with my job work is trying to get my evenings off and make sure that I can spend time with him and do all the things I want to do. Because for the first, I got that paid family medical leave through Oregon, which was really nice. That kicked in September, and he was born on the 23rd. So we caught just in time. So that allowed me to spend a couple months at home with my wife and my boy before I had to go back to work. But ever since I have been back to doing my two full-time jobs, it's mostly been see you in the morning, see you a couple minutes at night. And it's nice going to evenings now, having the evenings off, getting to spend more time with them. So,
a very interesting age.
He's just starting to become like an actual little person now.
Yeah. You know? Do you notice how they plateau? You know, they go in spurts.
Yeah, 100%. He kind of hits a spot and he'll hang out for a couple weeks and then he learns a bunch of new stuff.
Yeah. Look back and see if you can remember when your father was really proud of you, or your stepfather. How did you feel? Did the feeling last for a while? Or was there a moment?
Yeah, no, for sure. I think there was a lot of just kind of the, I'm not going to show you I'm proud because you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, you know, and you're doing it well, but that's what we expect of you type of thing. I think for him, it's that he was a small business owner himself and stuff. And so I think really when I started noticing, it was when I started my own businesses. I owned a skate shop before as well, downtown. And so when I started doing that, that's when I kind of noticed like the more like, hey, like really enjoying what you're doing, like respect, you know? And so that's been nice. I think definitely our relationship as adults versus teenage and being a kid is definitely a lot different. But, you know, that's just being an adult with another adult versus an adult-child relationship. So,
Would you say he was a model for how you father? Or
Yes, I would say in ways. As far as like the providing for your family type of thing. I think that's definitely like instilled in me is like hard work, you know, when he had his cabinet shops and stuff, it was like, no, you're our kids. So you're going to work in here too. And, you know, so you're not getting paid, but we expect you to work. So there was a lot of that growing up. And I think that taught me just to be a good hard worker. So I definitely respect that. My mom also had another boyfriend before, they had gotten together, and he kind of always stuck around as well because, all us kids were so young at the time. And so I wouldn't say that he was like all the time in the picture, but we would see him around and about, and he was always very supportive. And I still hang out and talk with him nowadays. And he's kind of a fatherly figure to me as well. And so I feel like I got the other side of that from him, where it's like, wow, you won a skateboard competition. That's awesome. You know what I mean? And it's like, so proud of you for that. Whereas I think at home, it was more of a religious atmosphere and a little bit more strict. So those extreme sports and the things I was interested in were kind of like, well, you know, wear a helmet and you can't skate in public because that's illegal and you can't do, you know, that type of stuff. So I never felt supportive of what I was wanting to do. I think I played like traditional sports and stuff. That would have been different, you know, but
what was the exact moment when you first found out you were going to be a dad? What was the circumstance?
So, I was just hanging out in the living room playing some video games, I think. I was just watching TV or playing video games, and my wife came out of the bathroom and, you know, showed me the test and said, oh my God, check this out. And at first, I didn't really believe it, you know. So, what? No way. I mean, we've been together for a long time, and it's never happened, so.
Had you been trying?
Not necessarily, no. Okay. I just, it was just one of those things that it was like, if it happens, it happens. And I mean, who can be mad about a baby, you know?
So, I know. So you were psychologically ready.
Yeah, for sure. I think even as a kid, I can remember like always wanting to be a dad, you know?
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I can remember that. And so, yeah, when she did it, it was, A, it was shocking, but also B, it was like, oh my God, I'm so excited. So we ended up... we took another one because I was like, let's double check. But but yeah, it was awesome.
It certainly changes everything, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What was the biggest change for you immediately?
I think immediately was just worrying about my wife and her health, you know? I mean, I've already kind of, I would say, a nervous person about that. I want to make sure she's okay, you know? And so knowing that she was pregnant and now we've got not just her to help take care of, but also the baby and make sure everything's all good. I think that was the immediate thing was, oh my gosh, we need to make sure you're fine. So, yeah, she dealt with a couple different things just through her pregnancy that made things a little harder, having to do special diets and things like that. And so that was kind of our main concern, was just make sure mama's okay and get her the right foods and make sure, you know, everything's all set. So, yeah.
At what age were you when you really considered that you'd like to be a father? Well, you answered that question already. I mean,
yeah, I guess like when I was little, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as like seriously considered, it was, I think after we got married, it was like, for me, you know, I know at least that's how I felt. I was like, if it happens, it happens, and I'd be super stoked on it, you know. But at the same time, too, we were just like trying to enjoy being married for a little bit and have our, you know, do our own thing. So, yeah.
Did it change the way you feel about your life in the chain of all these other lives that have you know, that brought you here?
Definitely. Yeah. It's weird. It's we recently did some of like our ancestral genealogy stuff. Uh-huh. And I think that was like right before we found out about Tuco, but that's definitely been like on my mind a lot more too, you know, making sure to go see the grandparents and like,
yeah.
I think a baby's, what's nice about the baby is it pulls family together too, you know, it's like, you got to balance. It's like, well, I haven't seen mom in a while, you know, but oh, we need to get over there so she can see the baby.
Right.
You know, so right. I think in the last 8 months, I think I've seen my family more than I definitely have in the last 10 years, even though we all live locally and stuff. It's hard to stop what you're doing in your daily life and get together, you know.
True,
so
true.
With the baby, there's kind of an excuse to do so. Absolutely. And so that's been really nice. But yeah, you definitely start thinking more about, you know, where do we come from? And you know, what is, not to say like the family legacy, but kind of just looking back, and it's kind of crazy seeing, I mean, everybody goes all the way back, but just being able to see where you came from is pretty cool.
What was your greatest fear about becoming a dad?
I think my biggest fear about becoming a dad was messing it up, you know? I think my biggest fear for me is just being raised by my mom the first 7 years of my life and then having a stepdad and biological dad wasn't in the picture. It's like I wanted to make sure that that never happens for my kid. Mm-hmm. I want him to have dad around. And so I think my biggest thing was just screwing up in big ways like that, you know, but also in just in small ways too, you know. Making sure that I'm checking my emotions and things like that. Yeah. You know, I don't want to, I think my biggest fear is just setting any sort of bad example for the little guy. But I know that also I'm a human and that's going to happen. So try and keep it in mind as much as you can, you know, but yeah, I think that'd be my biggest fear is just setting a bad example for him.
In your family, there's an international component.
Yeah.
Can you describe that?
So, my wife is Mexican. Her family lives in Mexico, a bunch of them. So we go down there quite a bit and we see her family, her aunts and uncles and grandma and grandpa. And, and then my family, my grandparents were born and raised here, but their parents were from elsewhere. They're from Finland and other countries in Europe, things like that. So we've definitely been in the area a long time for sure.
Yeah.
But, both family, like immigrant families in a sense.
Yeah.
So
now how did you meet your wife?
We just had common friends after high school. You know, I moved over to Astoria and a bunch of the buddies that I skated with, you know, knew my wife and her friends. And so we all just started hanging out.
Is she a skater?
No, she's not.
No.
No. No, I tried to, when I owned a skate shop, I tried to buy her a couple longboards and stuff and get her on them, but no, not for her. She loves watching and hanging out. And it's nice. She actually, you know, she takes interest. So she knows all the trick names and she can, you know, she knows all the stuff now.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Now, do you speak Spanish?
I don't. Uh-huh. I speak a little tiny bit, enough to get by when I'm in Mexico and stuff. But I definitely understand it better than speaking it, being comfortable speaking it. You know, when people are talking around me, I can be like, okay, we're talking about this, you know, okay, there's that. I see where the conversation's going. But yeah, my wife is fully bilingual. And she's had to use that at work and stuff. She worked for the Consejo Hispano. And so she's worked with the community a lot. And we're definitely raising my son to be bilingual.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's got grandparents in the house that speak Spanish. And, you know, they babysit him quite a bit. And
that's right.
My wife speaks Spanish to him and I speak English to him.
So. Probably double his income. Come in the future.
100%. Yeah. If anything, he can be an interpreter and make buku bucks. And,
oh, sure.
You know, so.
Go teach English somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I definitely want him to be like in touch with his culture and his heritage on his mom's side for sure as much as possible. So.
Yeah. How often do you go down?
In the last 10 years, I've been about 7 times.
Yeah.
So we try and go, once a year.
How long do you stay for?
We usually stay for anywhere from like 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
It's wonderful being in one spot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just going from there. Yeah.
And it's really nice. When we do go down there, you know, we get to stay with family. And so it's super comfortable and everybody's super hospitable and super nice.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
And of course, everybody loves the baby.
Well, we haven't taken him down
yet. Oh, you haven't?
No. So that's the thing. We're planning a trip for later this year so he can go meet everyone.
Oh, man.
But we definitely do lots of Skype calls and that type of thing with family. And everybody's really excited. So
you'll be the king when you go down there.
Yeah.
Because there will be a prince.
Well, the nice thing is, too, is one of the close cousins down there had a baby. I think he was only 3 or 4 days
apart,
like a week apart. And so, yeah, my guy's got a little cousin down there at the exact same age. So he'll have somebody to play with when we go visit. And yeah.
Have you spent much time imagining your child as an adult?
Yes and no. I think part of me doesn't want to because I don't want him to grow up because he's so cute, you know. But yes, I definitely have. I think for me, when I do think about him as an adult, a lot of times I think about just stuff he's going to have to deal with, which is, I think, something new for me is just thinking about the future in that light of like, oh, man, what are we doing, you know?
Oh, yeah.
What kind of world is he going to be living in when he's my age? Because, I mean, even just looking back to early 90s to now, it's like a lot of stuff has changed too. So, I don't know. I think there's definitely like, when I think about him as an adult, it's hard to picture him as an adult. But, yeah.
Yeah, it's only been 8 months and, you know, things aren't formed yet.
100%.
You know? Yeah. Yep. Yeah. But there are dreams.
Sure. I mean, if I had my way, I've got a set agenda for his life.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not gonna impose that on him.
I know. Well, what was that like? Because I went through the same thing,
yeah.
And I decided my daughter was going to be a jazz dancing bush pilot.
Okay, there you go. Yeah,
you know, and it didn't work out that way. But,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So before your child was born, what sort of dreams did you have, you know? What specifically, you know, said you had an agenda.
Yeah, I think, for me, having always skateboarded, I think with, skateboarding being in the Olympics and things now and seeing where it's at, it's definitely like more opportunity for people to make livings doing things like that. And so, I think if I had my way, you know, I already took him to the skate park for the first time the other day and trying to get him stoked, put him on the board and see what he likes. But yeah, if I had my way, he'd be a pro skateboarder when he's older. And, you know, we get to travel all around and do our thing together. But definitely want to get him out on the water. I think the first time I took him fishing, he was a week and a half old.
So, oh, wow.
I was like, Mom, you need a rest? Sweet. I'll load him in the stroller. We'll go to the lake. He's sleeping, you know, feed him a bottle. All right, you're asleep. Perfect. I can cast for a little bit. Definitely. I think for me, it's just, I think I want a buddy to do all the things I like to do. I know that's probably not how that's going to work out. But like I said, too, it's like, I think that's part of being a good dad is whatever they're interested in.
Yeah.
You got to go do that with them and show them stoke on it, too, you know. So.
Did you imagine conversations you'd have with them?
You know? Yeah. 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 I mean, I think about, like, just, you know, like I was saying, I want my kid to be a little more, I want to be a little more accessible to my kid than how I was raised, where, you know, if you have anything you need to talk about, come talk to me about it. You know, that's totally fine. We'll figure it out together. I know that's easy to say now when he's 8 months old and we haven't dealt with anything yet, but, I think that's definitely kind of how I want to be. You think about those conversations like, Dad, I got a girlfriend. It's like, okay, whoa, you know, or I don't know. You think about just the different things like school, dealing with bullies, like all that type of stuff. I think those are the things I worry about is just making sure he's got a good headspace for dealing with life.
Would you like to have more children?
They're a lot of work. I think,
but they're so tiny.
Yeah, I think I want to have more children. Every time I see other babies out and about, and they're so cute, you know. And I think it's like, oh man. I mean, we have a son now, so now I see little girls. I'm like, man, it would be nice to have a little girl too. So you know, he could have his sister. And but also, they're a lot of work. And I don't know. I don't think. I think pregnancy is really hard, and I think it would suck to see my wife have to go through pregnancy again.
She had like special conditions.
She just had just a few things and nothing too crazy, but there was definitely like extra steps we had to take to make sure she was all good. And so, you know, I'm always concerned about her and want to make sure she's all good. Yeah. So I don't know if I'd want to see her go through that again, but yeah.
What's been the greatest grief you've had as a father? What's the worst experience you've had? The scariest, you know, what?
So the scariest thing that happened is me and my son actually got hit by a drunk driver when he was 2 months old.
Wow.
And it was just me and him in the car. And so that, I think, is the scariest thing I've had to deal with him. My wife was had a friend in town, so I was trying to give them some girl time. And so I took my son over to see my dad in Warrington. And on the way home, we were crossing the New Young's Bay Bridge and got hit by a motorcycle.
Wow.
And so that was definitely the most stressful, you know, having to call my wife with the 2-month-old. And, hey, you know, I want to preface, don't worry, we're okay, but this happened. That was definitely the most stressful. And I think right in the moment, it's like you're kind of kicking to dad mode, you know. It's like the guy hit us, and I was like, can't go check on him. I got to make sure my kid's okay. So
yeah.
I think that was the hardest thing, was just, you got to pick, and my son, you know, I got to take care of him, make sure he's all good. Luckily, he slept all the way through it, and, you know, he was totally fine. And
that's great. What time of day was it?
It was at like 8:30 at night in the wintertime, so it was dark.
Yeah.
So that was the thing, was just like making sure he's good, but then we were also stuck on the bridge because our car was all messed up, and we couldn't get off the bridge because track of it was stacked up, so trying to coordinate with my wife, you know, she her mom instincts are kicking in, like, okay, I'm going to walk up the bridge and get my kid, and having to be like, no,
right,
I don't want you to get hurt either.
You live very close to it,
yeah, and that's the thing is, you know, where we were standing, I could see my house, and so it's like that feeling of, like, I want to get him out right now and get him over to his mom.
Yeah.
And, you know, him being 2 months old, that was really freaky for her, so I don't think it really hit me until we actually got home and everybody was home and safe, and we got him in bed, and then you kind of just break down. And you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like, we just started our family, and it could have been over. Like,
Yeah, that's traumatic.
Yeah.
What's a memorable moment of joy, specific incidents that you were the most joyous? Was it the birth?
So, yeah, the birth was awesome. Definitely, that's a super, like, memorable thing that you go through. Was super awesome. I think for me, you know, seeing family with my kid is super memorable. My grandma recently passed away a couple months ago, and we were able to let her see him, you know, so I've got pictures of grandma with him, which is awesome. I think that's one of the things where I can look back and be like, that's super cool. And I'll treasure that forever. I think as far as just like me and him, it's, you know, when I come home, cause I've been working a lot of nights, you know, and I don't see them during the day. So when I get off at 10:30 and I come walking through the door, I think it's awesome when I slide open the slider, cause he knows the sound now. And there's been times when he's dead asleep and he hears that slider door open, and he sits up and he's like, oh my God, dad is home. And he gets that big smile. And I think, so that's like the most memorable things right now.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
This interview will probably be online somewhere forever.
Okay, yeah. For sure.
So let's leave a message for your child to hear in 20 years.
Oh, man. I think that's a hard one because there's a lot to say. I think if he was to be hearing this in 20 years, I think what I would say is just, I really hope that you did exactly what you wanted to do. You know, I know that there's definitely been times in my life where I felt like I wanted to do stuff and I didn't because I was either too scared or I felt it was the wrong time or whatever. So that's something I really hope that he's chased his dreams. I want him to know that, you know, that I love him and that his mom loves him and that we're there for him, even as an adult, you know. Man. I think there's just, there's a lot to say. Let's see, I think the biggest thing that I would want him to know is that I want him to be somebody that, you know, looks out for others. I think that there's not enough of that nowadays.
Yeah.
You know, I guess a weird way to put it is like, if you're going to bully anybody, bully a bully, you know, stick up for people. Definitely, like, even knowing who he is and who he's going to be, I think he's going to face some stuff that I don't have to deal with, you know, and I want to make sure that.
Like what?
Well, just being that he does have Latino heritage and, you know, I'm not, you know, there's things that he's going to deal with being raised in rural Astoria or, you know, places like this that I definitely didn't have to deal with growing up. And so I think he's going to understand that really well, that people do get picked on and that people do need kind of a defender, somebody to look up for other people. So, you know, that's kind of why we named him the way we did.
What's his name?
His name is Tuco. Tuco is Nahua, which is native language Nahua, in Mexico. Yeah. But it means jaguar or puma.
Okay.
So, and then his middle name is Tenoch, which was,
From Tenochtitlan.
Yep. Mexico City's original name, the ruler of the Mexicans. So,
yeah.
I want him to make sure that he knows that, you know, stand up for what you believe in, you know, make sure that you look out for other people, because I think a lot of life is, I guess the cliche way of saying it is who you know, but I think more so it's who you impact, you know what I mean? So who you connect with. And you know, you can't go through life on your own. So I think that's one of the big things. Yeah. So that was the thing with my wife is, you know, when I met her, it's like we got together and, you know, she didn't know off the bat, but and my grandma on my biological dad's side, she's Mexican. She was raised in Nevada, New Mexico area, but her mom is from Mexico and her mom's mom's from Mexico. So that was even when we were looking through like my genealogy, it's like my family on my dad's side roots back to Torreon, Mexico. And so that's where like, it's interesting too, being raised where I am raised. It's like people say stuff to me because of the way I look, thinking that I'm automatically going to agree with them, you know? And that happens on quite a regular basis where I have to be like, whoa, hold up. You know, like, first off, like, my wife is Mexican, so I don't appreciate you saying that. Yeah. Secondly, like, you wouldn't know it looking at me, and I'm not, like, claiming that I am the same. But, like, my family has roots back there, too, so it kind of ticks me off when you're saying, you know. And so it's definitely interesting. I don't want my son to feel bad about who he is, you know, and I want him to be proud of who he is, especially he has a really strong mom. She is very proud of who she is. And so I don't have any fears that he's not going to be proud.
Gabe Sutton, thanks for being a guest on Father Figures. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate you. And, you know, you can't go through life on your own.
I was very interested in what Gabe had to say about ethnicity and its visibility in his child and what that means. Is racial tension lessening? Is society changing for the better? These days I'm not optimistic, and while prejudice is real and present, I still have faith in humans. To quote Harper Lee, the author of To Kill a Mockingbird, quote, prejudice, a dirty word, and faith, a clean one, have something in common. They both begin where reason ends. I respect Gabe's attention to the challenges that may face his son Tuco, but after speaking with Gabe, I have the feeling Tuco is in good hands. I want to thank Jason Shaw of Audionautics.com for the music, and of course, once again, I want to thank Gabe Sutton for being a part of this episode of Father Figures. So until next time, remember, the days may be long, but the years are short. Bye-bye.